Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
The Grizzlies get what they deserved after a lackluster effort before the All-Star break leads to a loss to the Pelicans. We'll talk about it and a little bit more as you listen to this post-game edition of Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was not what the doctor ordered right there, and everyone that was at FedEx Forum on Wednesday night saw a pretty bad game of basketball, really, particularly from the Grizzlies' perspective. My name is Peter Edmiston. Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies. As we wrap up the pre-All-Star break portion of the pod and the season in pretty lackluster style. Pelicans knock off the Grizzlies. Grizzlies had beaten the Pelicans seven straight times, not anymore. 95-91, and the Pelicans did their damnedest to lose this game down the stretch, but even they could not mess it up enough to beat a Grizzly team that really just did not have it tonight, didn't show up, put on what I like to term a last day of school type performance where just weren't really locked in. And once the Pelicans got going offensively after a slow start, they just really ran roughshod over the Grizzlies for a long, long time. There's a few things to come out of this game, though, and a few talking points to take from it, and we'll talk about them coming up here. Frustrating one for fans, I think. You know, based on the reaction I got on Twitter, certainly fans not happy at all with the way this game went down. And I can't blame you. The overall application for the Grizzlies, just kind of like, you know, the showing up, the doing stuff, just wasn't really there. I mean, on a night when the Pelicans get 18-7 from Anthony Davis, normally that's a good night, but not really for him. I mean, you know, he was the third leading scorer for the Pelicans. Didn't even crack 10 rebounds, was not a huge force defensively. Really not really what the kind of game that you would expect from a player of his pedigree and an All-Star starter and all that stuff. You would expect more, but, you know, Solomon Hill was the guy that killed the Grizzlies, of course. You know, he's part of the Wondixon All-Stars now. The guys that are the role players who kill the Grizzlies, well, throw Solomon Hill's name right on the list as he's, you know, flexing and wilding out and showing out for threes and all this business. 4 of 6 from behind the arc for Hill. 8 of 11 from the field, 23 points, 5 rebounds. He had a big three late in the game that helped to kind of stem the tide for the Pelicans as the Grizzlies had pushed all the way back and were almost ready to get over the hump. Couldn't quite do it, but very, very close. He had a big three that stabilized the Pelicans down the stretch. Grizzlies could never find him. Messed up on switches, messed up on their coverages on him, and a lot of guys, you know, really struggled to deal with him. This was a bad night for the Grizzly bench in general, and a bad night for the three starters that are not named Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. And Marc Gasol tonight, I didn't think played especially well. Certainly offensively, he looked, you know, just kind of out of it. The shot wasn't falling. He didn't look particularly geeked up to really lead the offense. And even still, he almost had a triple-double. 15 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, threw in a steal and a block for Mark, and he was a team-high plus 11 in a 4-point loss. So, you know, I mean, as bad as he was in terms of pure offense, shooting, the shot looked off, he still was a force for good for the Grizzlies. Mike Conley was also a positive in this game, 17 points, even though he shot the ball really poorly, 5 of 16 from the field, including 3 of 10 from behind the three-point line. He didn't get to the foul line all that much either. The Pelicans did a good job of stopping the penetration that he's been able to get of late. They snuffed out a lot of that. They snuffed out a lot of the Grizzlies' pet plays, actually. It's part of the reason why the Grizzlies finished an astonishingly bad 6 of 33 from behind the three-point line. 6 of 33 from behind the three-point line. Crazy. Everyone on the Grizzlies team except for Brandon Wright and Tony Allen took a three, and only four guys actually made one. So that means there were five guys who took a three, at least one, and didn't make any. So rough night at the office for the Grizzlies from the outside. And, you know, this is, I guess, maybe a rude regression to the mean for what has been a team that has shot the three surprisingly well throughout this season. This is a big-time pullback and a big-time shock to the system. And I think some of it had to do with the fact that the Grizzlies, you know, didn't defend very well for most of this game, and that tends to bleed over into their offense, where they are, I don't know if it's just a mental thing, they're just dispirited or what, but they really struggled. Tonight they shoot 37% from the field, whereas the Pelicans shot 49%. For the longest time, they were well over 50%. They, you know, really had a rough... Pelicans started poorly. Basically, the first 6 minutes of the game, they go 1 of 8 and get off to a really bad start. And then the finish of the game, yeah, they really struggled there. But in between was when the Pelicans were terrific. And they shot in that probably, I don't know, 36-minute stretch. If you take the first 6 minutes and the last 6 minutes of the game out of it, that middle 36, they were fantastic. Everyone, you know, Solomon Hill, as I mentioned earlier, Drew Holiday was really, really good for them. You saw, you know, Modi Yunus hit a couple shots. You know, they got contributions for even Alexi Ajinsa finished with a triple, or not a triple double, that would be insane. Finished with a double double, which is almost as insane by his standards. 12 and 10, including 3 steals and 2 blocks for Ajinsa. That's wild. That is wild. You don't see. I don't know how many double doubles Jensa has, but it can't be a ton. But he had one in this ball game tonight. And the Pelicans, you know, you take those two beginning and end stretches out. They really dominated this game and played with a lot more intensity, a lot more, I think, just diligence and care and interest in the game. Yeah, this was that last day of school feel for the Grizzlies. They felt like it felt like they were going through the motions. Watching them, you just got the sense that they weren't digging in. It was stuff that was very basic stuff. Yeah, I went back and watched you know, those attempts that they had from three, and a lot of them are really, really good, but they just missed them. Just and a lot of them were bad misses. Really bad. So one of those nights, I suppose you could chalk that up. I wouldn't freak out. The Grizzlies did bludgeon the Pelicans in second chance points, which was the only thing that kept this one remotely close. Grizzlies outscored Pelicans 29-3 in second chance points. 29-3. Huge margin there. And that plus 26 allowed the Grizzlies to have an opportunity in the final minute to tie the game. It was an opportunity that didn't work, and a pretty bad shot from Mike Conley. But they at least had the opportunity, and they really didn't deserve to have it based on the way that they played throughout the bulk of this game. Some of the talking points coming out of that from the Grizzlies' perspective. On the positive side, Tony Douglas was probably the most inspiring player and the most into it of all the Grizzlies. You would expect that from a guy on a 10-day contract, but he really got the energy level up. He played at the one with Mike Conley off of him at the two in some interesting lineups that got a little push in the fourth quarter. And Douglas played, you know, good on-ball defense, couple steals, was really there. But you could just see the limitations. I tweeted about this. And I think Tony Douglas is a terrific story, good player, you know, all that stuff. Excuse me. All that stuff is true from Tony Douglas. You have there's a lot to like about this guy. And those of you that have been listening to the pod all year, you know I was advocating for him as the guy that the Grizzlies should sign when they were looking to add that emergency player when Mike Conley went out with a back injury originally. I really pushed for Tony Douglas for this reason. I mean, he's got this level of skill. He can do this. But you saw on the defensive end, he got pushed around by Jrue Holiday. He gave up baskets. He didn't make great decisions with the ball. That was true on Monday as well. And teams are, you know, kind of figuring him out. He's not the most dangerous outside threat you could have. He's not a bad three-point shooter necessarily, but he's just not the most dangerous guy. The fact of the matter is he's just a solid 10-day acquisition type player. Nothing more than that. And so I tweeted out, you know, imagine if these minutes that were pretty productive from Tony Douglas were actually being taken up by a better player. You know, if you want to throw in a Lou Williams or a Darren Collison or, you know, someone of that ilk who can play in that combo role. You know, Lou Will is more of a two than a one, but, you know, you could make it work between he and Conley in that same kind of backcourt. And you've got so much more potency on the offensive end. You know, the same is true of Collison. That you could even, I would argue Tim Frazier would be an upgrade over Tony Douglas, at least on the offensive end. Defensively, you know, Douglas is one of those guys that gives you a tremendous effort, and he looks to me like it looks like he's really, you know, playing solid defense, but I don't know if that's really true. He gives up lanes, he makes bad decisions. He gets pushed around from time to time. So, you know, I think they're certainly an upgrade that you could have on Tony Douglas. I don't say that to disparage him at all. He's done a terrific job. And as a guy who's a, you know, 10-day pickup, you know, you don't always see them be able to come in and on good teams actually make an impact and play 20, 25 minutes. But that's what Tony Douglas is doing. He's an NBA player, and he deserves to be on the roster. It just probably would be best if he's not your backup point guard. So if you can go out and get him, make a deal and keep him around, great. In that Andrew Harrison type role, he's better than Harrison, certainly. But if he's your backup point guard, then you could use some improvement at that position. Maybe the Grizzlies can go and do that in the trade deadline. Maybe not. Got a week to figure it out and got no games to encumber the situation. So if it's going to happen, it is going to happen. The next thing to talk about is Chandler Parsons. And, you know, he hit a three, which was good. He had some more line drive threes tonight as well. I thought the interesting thing was the foot race that we saw. And I think it was Solomon Hill. But Parsons was trying to catch up to him and foul, and he just couldn't even do that. The guy that's dribbling the ball, Parsons is not dribbling. And he could not catch up, and he couldn't even commit the foul until very, very late in the process. It was a little bit alarming. You saw more flat shots from Parsons, and I think, as we've talked about, if Parsons isn't healthy and doesn't look better after the All-Star break, you have to start thinking about changing his role and moving him to the bench. As far as I'm concerned, so you can get a more solid starting group and a more consistent starting group going forward. We'll see. We'll see how it goes with Chandler. Tony Allen, an interesting story as well, because Tony, once again, didn't really play in the fourth quarter and didn't play even when you're talking about, like, down the stretch when the Grizzlies are up three and you see New Orleans trying to inbound the ball. This would be a perfect time for Tony Allen to get out there and, you know, try to get a steal, disrupt, deflection, whatever it may be, just to try to get it going. It would make sense to see him out there, but he wasn't. Even in that defensive situation, he wasn't. They weren't even trying the offense-defense switch that we've seen from time to time in that scenario, that we didn't see that. And so, you know, Tony Allen was kind of just out there. I mean, he didn't have a great game by any stretch of the imagination. He was loose with the ball, committed turnovers, didn't net finishes. you know, that kind of stuff you didn't see from Tony. So, you know, it's just something to kind of keep an eye on, because he's a guy this year that has averaged, 7 minutes per fourth quarter. And, you know, that's kind of where he's been when he's been healthy. So if that starts to change, or if you see that, you know, kind of slip a little bit, then that will be a story. Could it be that Tony's in a little bit of a funk? Maybe so. Maybe so. I mean, he shot the ball this year. He's averaging, 49% from the field in the fourth quarter, for example. But in the last 10 ball games, he's only shooting, 38% from the field in those fourth quarters. Now, he doesn't take a ton of shots. But, he's not giving you even those easy baskets that you normally see from Tony. You know, nothing's ever easy with Tony, but you know what I mean? Like, stuff like the layups and that kind of thing. It's just not happening for him. Overall, he shoots 46% from the field this year, but Tony is averaging 39% over his last 10 ball games. And, his production has been on kind of a curve. His first 10 games, he shot right under 40%. Next 10, he shot 52%. The third 10, he shoots 55%. Then that goes back down to 43%. And now in this stretch, he's shooting 37%. So his worst stretch of the season. And, that's kind of the epitome of what Tony Allen is. It can be up and down for sure. But right now it's down, and if it's down to the point where you don't feel comfortable playing him in these obvious defensive situations, then that is a sign that, something is not right. It's not at all time to, really worry about that, or to think that, the end is near for Tony as a Grizzly or anything like that. I don't think that's the case at this point. But it does kind of bear watching. And just keep an eye on what Tony does, what he's doing, what the plan is for him, especially late in ball games, because that can kind of give you a feel for where he sits in the mind of David Fizdale. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56877 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal, and you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies, or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @peteredmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.